When you're living in a brain-heavy region like ours, you may find yourself standing in line at the coffee shop with a guy who is trying to 3D print organs. Or maybe you're sipping cocktails with a doctor who's growing lettuce leaves to make vaccines. This can all lead to some pretty amazing conversations, and we create those kinds of conversations in our segment. So, what do you do? We team up a layperson with one of the region's many scientists for a down-to-earth talk about heavy-duty research. This week, Matt Skoufalos, a freelance writer and musician from New Jersey, asks Rob Colathanol, an evolutionary biologist and geneticist from Temple University.
What can we say you do?
Well, first of all, I'm an evolutionary biologist. I'm interested in change, change at the molecular level, change at the genetic level, change at the organismal level, how species change over time. But as a geneticist, I'm interested in change at the gene level. And I'm interested in the forces that actually cause those changes. Mutational forces, how gene flow, how selection, and how drift can actually change allele frequencies or genes across space and time.
Can you tell me about what an allele frequency is?
If you remember, in basic genetics, we have two sets of genes. So for a given gene, we have a copy that's from your mother and a copy that's from your father. These are what we call alleles. So alleles are basically different representations of that gene. These are different forms of a single gene.
So this is more like the argument of who you can blame which parent for which of your problems that you have?
I think we should just blame them equally for every single problem that we have.
Right. I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to have these issues. All right, I'll only throw this one at
That's
you.
That's a sociological question.
Okay, fair enough. As a kid, I read a lot of comic books, and there were people who had crazy superpowers like growing wings or shooting laser beams, something like that. Is it possible evolutionarily for us to get to that place?
For something like that, for wings to arise, you must have many years, you must have a lot of time, and you must have a constant selective pressure that basically allows variation that's found in a population to be molded into an individual with wings.
So it wouldn't be until we became like an arboreal, cliff-dwelling kind of species that we would need to grow wings, so we were pushing our children literally out of the nest before that would happen?
Well, perhaps one day, if there was variation in a population, and if some individuals had small little wings in the back of their pack, maybe one day we could actually select for those over many, many, many generations.
All right, an easier one. What about prehensile tails? We're picking things up with our feet, thumbs on our hands. Come on, help me out here. When do we get to be cooler?
We are cool. And that's actually kind of the coolest thing about evolution. We are species that are at around 7 billion individuals right now. There is a lot of room for mutational processes to take place. You know, years ago when our species was at, 100,000, mutation had to accumulate over a long time. Now with 7 billion people, mutations take place that much faster.
Rob and Matt talked for about 30 more minutes about evolution and what might be next for the human race, and then they got onto some new stuff Rob is working on. He's using the tools of his geneticist trade to track the development of technology.
You know, using evolutionary theory with organisms really makes sense because these organisms undergo mutation. These organisms have gene flow between different populations or between individuals. There's selection that takes place in populations, and there's also drift that can take place, especially if you have a small population. Now, you could actually use these principles of evolution to understand how certain non-biological entities evolve. For example, we've been looking to see how WordPress, which is a very popular platform for blogging as well as for websites, we've looked to see how this platform has evolved since its inception in 2005 over time. So if we could take a social construct, if we could take a technology such as WordPress, we could reinvent an underlying genetic code for that platform and then look to see what forces are acting upon that platform over time. So in 2005, there was only a few WordPress websites. And now it's 2013, and there's a lot more. There's tens of thousands of websites. And each of them has their own genetic structure. Over time, we can actually see how these things have evolved, how certain interactions have changed.
What do you see as the future, technologically speaking, of stuff like this?
I don't know, because we're just in the early stages of working on it right now. Not many people do this. In fact, no one does this.
Well, one person does.
Well, so what can we make out of this? I don't know yet. This is an experiment, and we're going to see where this takes us.
Thanks very much. I feel like I learned a whole lot.
And thank you. I haven't thought about these questions in a long time, and and it's really great to be given this opportunity to talk to you.
Rob Kulathanol, an evolutionary geneticist at Temple University, speaking with Matt Skoufalos, a writer and musician living in New Jersey. They enjoyed their chat so much they'll talk more over coffee. And Rob went to see Matt's band play last month. It's a David Bowie cover band called Candy Volcano.